You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. And for the rest of the hour, if you've got teenagers in the house, perhaps you're one yourself or you've raised a few, then you know the challenge of understanding what's going on in the minds of children as they grow from little kids to teenagers. What happened to that person I thought I knew? Why does she act so irrational and impulsive? Yes, you know, at one time I'm sure we've all blamed it on puberty, on hormones, but there is another important factor that you may not think of, the brain. The part of the brain that controls reasoning doesn't actually mature until the late teens, answering the question of many parents, just when are you going to grow up? A study out in this week's Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences is the first to show the sequence of brain maturation from about 5 to 20 years old. Researchers used MRI to measure the density of gray matter in the cerebral cortex, which decreases as the brain matures. So we're going to talk about brain maturity and how it matures in teenagers. Maybe we'll be able to answer some of your questions, not about your individual teenagers, but how the brain matures, because we know we can't make any recommendations on Science Friday. How to take care of your teenagers. We won't be any more probably better at it than you are. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Joining me now to talk about the study is Judith Rappaport, chief of the Child Psychiatry Branch of the National Institute of Mental Health at NIH. She joins us from Bethesda. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What did you set out to study in your study?
Well, this was part of a big study in which several hundred children were scanned with brain MRI every 2 years so that we just could get norms for brain development.
Mm-hmm.
Child psychiatrists mostly see children between the ages of 4 and 20,
right.
And we also have various clinical groups also being scanned across this period. But as I hope has gotten to be obvious, just the scans of the healthy children turned out to be interesting on their own.
Mm-hmm. And so you use these brain scans to look at the same children every 2 years to see how the brain was developing?
Exactly. And what was so good about this was that we had the stability and the time to do this very long-term study, and you can see much more sensitive and interesting changes in the same person over time than if you have groups of different people at different ages.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you see when you watched these kids over the years?
Well, what was interesting to us was the way the brain keeps developing at every stage, but as had been known from other studies, it's particularly robust, some of the changes taking place during adolescence. Another very interesting part of this very sensitive measure of brain development was the way different parts of the brain develop at different times. And mm-hmm. that was especially interesting to us.
And which parts were especially interesting?
Well, for example, it certainly seems sensible that some of the visual parts, the very basic mechanisms, the parts of the brain that are of the cortex that are involved in things like motor movements and just seeing and hearing, would develop mm-hmm. earlier. But some of the higher order parts of the brain that can relate to functions such as sizing up consequences of behavior, or figuring out the consequences of getting a certain reward or lack of reward.
Right.
Those were among the last to mature. These parts of the brain also integrate a lot of information from different avenues, and
right.
so you wouldn't just act on any one thing.
That's interesting. So if you yell at your kid who's 14, don't you understand what you're doing? They may not, because their brain is not matured enough.
I think you could say that, although people studying people in middle age would also be very quick to point out that your brain isn't a static organ, and
mm-hmm.
so that it continues changing. But I do think most people agree that especially robust changes do take place in adolescence.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you mentioned the consequences, that part of the brain that talks about the consequences of your actions. I know from my own teenagers, you know, saying to them or dealing with other teachers, don't you realize that what you do now is going to affect you somewhere down your life? That really does take time for that to develop.
I think that's just the case, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, since we all are born with the exact number of brain cells, right? We don't grow new brain cells?
There are some small exceptions, but
yeah.
essentially that's true.
So when you say maturation, what does that mean? physically? What is maturing in the brain? What is physically going on there?
Right. Well, across the age range that we studied, the most dramatic changes are probably the increased myelination, that's the covering of the connection cells, the connection between cells, the so-called white matter of the brain, these long tracts between parts of the brain and brain going to the rest of the body. That gets bigger and bigger, and there's considerable reorganization within the gray matter, which includes nerve cells and supporting tissue and blood vessels and connections between these nerve cells, the axons and the dendrites that make up the synapses, which are the connections between cells.
Right.
What we do know is that there's change in all of that, and that there's refining of connection across nerve cells. There's also dozens of other enzymes and genes being expressed across this age range also.
So they're creating new connections and reinforcing others?
Right. We tend to focus on what we know for sure is happening, which is a pruning down, and that some of the circuits that are most used are the ones likely to be kept, and others that perhaps don't function as well or are used less or are less likely. It's kind of a sculpting down, probably to help the individual perform best in whatever area they seem to need to. But there is some plasticity that keeps on at other ages, and there's good reason to think that some of this process keeps on going throughout your life.
Are you saying, when I hear you say sculpting down, are you saying that there are parts of the brain where they might be shrinking in size and other parts that are growing in size?
Yes, I think that's true, and there have been very specialized studies that, in fact, can show that. There's a study that had nothing to do with ours of taxi drivers in London showing that a particular part of the brain that involves spatial memory, for example, increases that part of the brain in relation to their need for it.
And in kids, can you see the change happening during these teenage years?
We haven't done such specific kinds of studies. Our studies on this regard have just been more to do with age and so far, we don't see any relationship, for example, to IQ between how the rate at which it goes up and goes down. It seems pretty constant across people.
But do you see in the teenage years some parts of the brain getting smaller and others getting larger?
Well, that's hard to answer because basically it's an inverted U. It looks like it goes up to a peak and then it comes down during adolescence. And so we see at different rates different parts of the brain go through this. So that, for example, the temporal lobes that have parts that seem to integrate many different inputs from all over, parts of them mature very late.
All right. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-989-8255. Lots of questions. Toby in Boise. Hi, Toby.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. Sociology would tell us that cultural influences play a major role in establishing groups of people and explaining behavior. And if we look at history, this entire category of adolescent people is fairly non-existent in certain cultures and in certain times of different cultures. So I'm curious, does this study or do any other studies examine cross-cultural differences in the actual environmental impact as far as brain development? So brains in America might be different than brains in a primitive South American tribe or something like this.
Right. That's certainly a very good question. Unfortunately, the high-tech nature of the brain MRI has stopped anything like that from being done. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a particularly good question that adolescence is a phenomenon in a sense of certain more highly developed countries. And that certainly some of the tasks, however, that people seem to be, and the tasks and opportunities may make it useful to have a much longer adolescence during in our culture than others. But I would say that it's recognized, I think, across all cultures that certain roles of leadership and decisions are usually allocated to the older members, even when someone who would be an adolescent in our culture becomes a hunter or used as weapons and so on. Mm-hmm. They don't really have the same decision-making role usually in the group.
Talking about adolescent brain development this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow talking with Judy Rappaport. Back to the phones. Let's go to Karen in Buffalo, New York. Hi, Karen.
Hello there.
Hi there.
I found this rather interesting because it would the conversation and the study would seem to show that now they're seeing in an MRI what Piaget had drawn up with cognitive development in people, that they're going through stages and it might correlate with the brain development?
Well, we haven't looked at individual differences within our group yet, although we're just starting to do that with certain measures for skills that relate to different parts of the brain cortex. But in a general sense, I think there's evidence for the differences. We have some studies suggesting that children who are hyperactive may be thinner in certain parts of the cortex that relate to attention and decision-making.
Thanks for calling, Karen.
Thank you.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's scoot over to Philly. Shirley in Philly. Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
Hi there.
What about adults that don't seem to have grown up, that they're not good at accepting responsibility or consequences for their behavior, or they just behave like immature teenagers? Could that have to do with how they were raised, or could that actually be a brain development kind of thing?
I think that's a wonderful question and that there's a lot of ways to answer it. First of all, there's probably a lot of different ways in which adults don't grow up, and so that would be probably several studies in itself. But there's no question, even though our current study is focusing on the brain, that there are many, many influences, social and society, as was mentioned before, and your own genetics and the influence of your family and friends and general health and so on. But I do think it's certainly possible that individual differences in brain development might have some influence on this, too.
Thanks for calling. Good question. You studied to age 21, then. Could you push it up a little higher?
Well, in fact, we are going to age 26 because some of our colleagues studying middle age and young middle age people were eager to show how we would fit in with their own studies. So, yes, we are.
And so how long will the study go on for?
Well, probably about another 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll have data from 5 years old to 26-year-old?
Close to that, yes.
Mm-hmm. And can you then sift other things out of the results?
Oh, I think we're hoping to do a lot more with this study. For example, Dr. Jay Geed, who's been pivotal for all of this in our group, has many twins, identical twins and fraternal twins, going through the same process a few years behind, so that, for example, we'll be able to see if some parts of the brain seem and their development is much more heritable than other parts.
Oh, so yeah, the twin studies, a nouveau twin studies.
Exactly. One of the things we would be interested in is maybe, for example, some of these parts of the brain that develop later might be less genetic.
Hmm. Oh, well, yeah, you'll be able to see the nature-nurture.
Exactly. Of slopes for, you know, of the slopes for development, not just at any given time, but of the rate of change.
Wow, sounds exciting.
We are very excited about it.
Yeah. I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Dr. Judith Rappaport is chief of the Child Psychiatric Branch at the National Institute of Mental Health at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. That's about all the time we have for today. Our program is produced by Annette Heist, Erica Altman, and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Berquist is our director and our web producer. Our intern is Julie Kalin. And if you want to surf up to our website, you can do lots of things there at sciencefriday.com. You can get back editions of Science Friday, download them on your Audible player or your iPod. You can listen to them on real audio there. Or you can find Science Friday's Kids Connection there, free teaching materials that we make from Science Friday that you can bring into your classrooms. And also you can find all the links we talked about today in case you missed them. You can also write us email the old-fashioned way, or you can send your letters by regular mail to Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.